Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day. What a beautiful day it is when we can honor our mothers. Bob, I really appreciated your thoughts this morning about your mother. And the message this morning is going to be about our mothers, and my intent is to acknowledge how wonderful our mothers really are. And I know that Bob is not the only one in this audience that has lost their mother. I know there's a significant amount of people in this audience that have lost their mother. And my prayer is that the thoughts this morning that we share with each other won't bring up the painful memories of the loss that you feel, but that it'll bring up fond memories of how much your mother loved and cared about you. Mamas are all something we can, all relate to, because we all have mothers. And I think we can understand more about love because of our mothers. And I think we can understand more about how God loves us because of the love of our mother. Now, I know mothers are human, and not everyone shares a special relationship with their mother, and I'm sorry for that. But generally speaking, I think we can understand love and relate to love and relate to how God loves us because of our mothers. You know, when I was a kid, I used to think that people were paying special homage to my mother before I understood what they were really saying when they would kind of whisper under. I never understood why they ever never said this to her. But I could hear him say, that guy's got a face only a mother could love. But, I always thought that was honoring my mom, but actually I found out later that it really wasn't. But mothers have a special bond with their children. And I think this starts in the womb. Right during the gestation period, if you will, when the baby's growing inside the mother's womb, I think that special relationship begins there, and I think it continues after the baby's born, and the mother nurses the child. I mean, when you're a child's single source of food for the better part of a year, you're going to have a pretty special relationship to your mother. And so I want to take some time this morning and think about how loving our relationships with our mothers really are, how much our mothers really love us. And I want to draw some parallels to God's love as we're going through this. So first I want to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, in a couple of instances. And I appreciate Cade reading that this morning from Luke chapter 2. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was living in the manger. Lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And doesn't that sound like a mother? If you want to have a special memory in the heart of a mother, say something kind about her child. Right? Say something moms have these feelers out all the time, and they pick up on these things. And if you want to do something special that will touch the heart of a mother, honor her child. And I'm pretty sure that Mary was touched by how the shepherds honored Jesus when they came and the amazing things that they were saying about him. She treasured these things up in her heart. Later in Luke chapter 2, there's another example of this very thing. Let me read verses 41 through 52. Luke chapter 2. Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking that he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now, how do you think Mary and Joseph felt during those, 3 or 4 days when they couldn't find their son? I mean, how anxious is a mother going to be when, where is my son? And for 3 or 4 days, they were unable to find him. I mean, where's he sleeping? What's he eating? Right? Who's taking care of him? All these things that you know that they were concerned about. Verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, I really doubt that Mary was treasuring in her heart that anxiety of being separated from her son for those 3 or 4 days. Instead, she was, you know, amazed and treasured in her heart that what Jesus was, where he was, and what he was doing, and what people were saying about him. Again, she treasured these things in her heart. I mean, she knew Jesus was special, right? Immaculate conception. She had raised him, you know, for 12 years. But people were amazed at his understanding and his teaching, and Mary treasured those things in her heart. And I find it interesting that it says in verse 51, then he, being Jesus, went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. I wonder, after being that anxious, you know, there probably wasn't really anything Jesus could have said that would have gone over very well with mom and dad after doing that, right? I mean, think of your kid kind of running away, if you will, for 3 or 4 days. And then you find them and then they question you, "Well, why were you looking for me?" I mean, there's going to be some comeuppance to pay, right? When that happens. And so maybe that's what this is talking about, that Jesus was obedient to them. I mean, maybe they took his cell phone away for a month or something. I'm not sure. But there had to be some sort of consequences for that. And Jesus submitted himself, it says, obeyed them. And maybe that's, well, probably not. But the passage that says Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered there in Hebrews, maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know. But Mary treasured these things in her heart. Let me ask you this. Do you think God treasures in his heart the good things that we do? I believe he does. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people. Now listen to verse 8. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. So if God is going to reward us for the good that we do, doesn't that indicate that He's treasuring those things in His heart? He's remembering the good that we do and that He's going to reward us for those things, it says. And this isn't the only passage that says something like that. God treasures in His heart the good that we do, just like mothers do. Now, if you would turn over to 1 Corinthians 13, let's look at this love passage here, and this is something I'm sure we're all familiar with. I want to focus on verses 4 through 8 here and draw some parallels between the love of a mother and the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. With the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere. Love never fails, and then it goes on. Love is patient. Do you think that's an attribute of a mother? Are mothers patient when we're trying to learn to tie our shoes, or when we're trying to learn to ride our bike, or when we're trying to learn to read or say the alphabet, or on and on? Mothers have all kinds of patience. Fathers, on the other hand, maybe not so much sometimes. But mothers are extremely patient with their kids because they love them. And I think it helps us, at least to some degree, understand God's patience with us. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not slow, as some count slowness. He's not slow. He is patient with us. He is not wanting anyone to perish, but He wants all to come to repentance. So God is patient with us, even though sometimes we feel like God is sitting up there with His, you know, finger cocked ready to thump us in the head. We don't get that from the Bible. We get that from our own understanding, right? That's not our God. He's not sitting there waiting to thump us. He's patient with us, and He's wanting us to turn to Him. He's wanting us to come to repentance. So love is patient. And I think we can understand God's patience a bit more by looking at how our mothers are patient with us. How about this? Are mothers kind? Mothers gentle? Don't they show kindness to their sweet babies? Absolutely they do. Are mothers envious? Do they boast, or are they proud? Well, they will boast on their kids, and they are proud of them in a good way, not in an arrogant way. Mothers love their kids and are proud of them. And isn't it, don't you wish that everyone could view you the way your mother views you, from the standpoint of seeing your potential, of seeing your value, seeing how beautiful you are? If everybody viewed us like our mothers viewed us, what kind of a world would this be? It would be pretty awesome. Love does not dishonor others. Our mother would never dishonor us, regardless of what kind of mess that we get ourselves into. How about this one? It is not self-seeking. Have you ever known a mom to sacrifice for her kids? I mean, isn't that pretty much what they do all of the time? And it's a biblical concept. Philippians 2, verse 1, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of others. Don't mothers epitomize that for their kids? I mean, Adam, how many times has your mom gone out of the way to do something special for you, to make you feel good, to, you know, sacrifice her time and sacrifice her energy and just show you how much she loves you? Right? That's inherent to moms. Love is not easily angered. Moms are patient. They're patient with their kids as they're trying to teach and learn. Back to the Luke chapter 2. It says there in verse 52 that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. And how does that say it exactly? He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. That wasn't just on His own. I mean, yeah, He was the Son of God, but Mary and Joseph trained Him how to live, taught Him what was right, and He grew in wisdom and stature because of them, in part. Love doesn't keep any records of wrongs. I mean, isn't your mother the most forgiving person that you've ever known relative to what it is that you've done? I mean, moms naturally forgive without being asked to do so. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Godly mothers are of great value as they teach us right and wrong, teach us from the Bible, teach us how God wants us to live. There's great value in that. It always protects. So conversely to a mother treasuring in her heart the good things that people do to their children, if you want to get on a mom's bad side real quick, do something not so nice to one of her kids. And you'll see a mama become defensive like that. I mean, that's built in, right? That even animals do that. Protecting their children. It always trusts. They're very trusting, even when we mess up. Always hopes. And they always want the best for their kids. I mean, they don't want their kids to go through the hard things, the difficult things that they went through themselves a lot of times. And so they work and sacrifice to make their kids' lives better. And they always persevere. They don't give up on their kids. And love never fails. A mother's love is something very special. It was created by God, and I think, as I said before, it helps us understand God's love for His children, for us. Now, I don't know what it would have been like for Mary standing at the foot of the cross. I'm sure she's not standing there emotionless, just taking it all in while her beloved son endured the things that he endured. And while she's standing right there listening to the people mock him and curse him, you know that had to be so hard for Mary. Even though she had an inkling that he was the Son of God, it's her boy up there on the cross. I know what we're talking about, what I'm talking about this morning isn't anything new. It's just more of a reminder. But Ephesians chapter 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." God expects us to honor our mothers and our fathers. God understands the sacrifices that parents make. God understands how much parents love their kids. God understands the responsibilities that parents have to train up their kids. And God expects us to pay the honor and respect to our parents that are due them. That's not Roger's opinion. That's what I just read from the Word of God. So I know Mother's Day and Father's Day isn't a God-instituted day of, you know, memorial for your parents. But nonetheless, you know moms love to hear from their kids. That moms love to know that their kids are thinking about them. That mom needs to know that their kids still love and appreciate everything that they've done for them. So, if I can encourage you, stop crying, Judy. I knew I shouldn't have looked at her. So if I can encourage you with anything this morning, please acknowledge your mother today. If she's not here with you, call her. Text her. No, call her. Don't text her. Texting is so impersonal. Call her. She wants to hear from you. Can't believe I said that. Spend some time with her. Spend some time with her. Show her how, tell her how much that you love her and appreciate her for all that she has done for you. I know this hasn't been a sermon for calling for any sort of response to the gospel, but I do hope and pray that you understand how much God loves you. God created us, 2 Corinthians 5 says, to live with us, to live with Him forever. He created us for that very purpose. God loves us so much that He gave Jesus to die for us. That is love. The sacrifice, the patience, the enduring our sins is because He loves us. So please don't forget that this week. Live your life as though remembering God loves you so much that He died for you on the cross. And as our custom, we have an opportunity here to stand and sing in just a second. And as Derek leads us in the song, if there is anyone that would like to come and make any of their wishes known, ask for prayers, or even if you want to put Christ on in baptism, we can take care of that this morning as well. If you have any needs at all, please join us while we stand and sing this song.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown makes me whole, saves my soul, is wider than snow.
Guests here today, and we appreciate you very much. I suspect you're here in some way or other to honor mothers. We hope that you can allow us to get better acquainted with you and hope that you come back and be with us whenever you can. Obviously, I want to thank Roger, another excellent lesson that he often does when he's filling in for Stephen. Stephen had the opportunity to go see his mother today. We want to remember that there is a long list, as usual, of those that need our prayers in the bulletin. And if you're not able to pray for the whole list this week, at least find those that you have a closer relationship with and be sure to include them in your prayers. But we put the list in there for a reason, and that is for us to use that list to pray for them. Those many of them can't be here today, and some are able to be here but still not feeling well. Holy Father in heaven, we thank you so much for loving us the way you do and the way you did when you gave your Son on the cross. Help us, Father, to develop that same kind of love that you have, and that we may have love for you and your Son and for one another. Help us to develop the love that can only come from you. Father, we thank you so much for blessing us the way you do. You've blessed us in many ways. Obviously, many of us are blessed physically, and in fact, all of us are blessed in some ways physically. We know you've blessed us especially with your Son Jesus, who died on the cross. We're thankful, Father, for your word that we have, that we can know you more fully and know more about your love that you have for us. And for, help us, Father, to be willing to look into your word, to study it and know more as we should, to apply it to our lives. We know, Father, there are many here today that are having various issues and problems, and there's some that can't be here today or sick and not feeling well. And we pray, Father, you will help all of us, help all of them to be relieved of their pain and stress, anxiety, and things they're going through right now. Father, help them turn to you through prayer and look into your word to gain strength to overcome their difficulties they're facing at this time. Father, we're so thankful for this body that meets here, this family here at Liberty, and help us always strive to seek to be one to do our part. And we pray, Father, now as we depart to go to our classes, we're thankful, Father, for the many teachers we have and the abilities they have. We pray you'll be with us now as we depart and go to our classes. And watch over us and bring us back the next time we meet, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed.